What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful Select Backstage Report Podcast for February 26, 2024. We're going to look back at the exclusive news that we've reported over the past week. And we had a lot of TNA news, just a whole ton of TNA news. From Josh Alexander to Steve Macklin, Jake something to the meeting, all that. So let's jump right into it because we had a ton of that. Steve Macklin is a free agent as of May. I have not heard if the two sides have had discussions about an extension. He was working the most recent tapings, however. That's a big deal for TNA. Steve Macklin is a guy that has an incredible amount of experience in the WWE system. In fact, he's got more experience there than anywhere else. He just wasn't ever really used to his fullest potential. I mean, pretty early on in his career, he got signed by WWE and went there and worked hundreds of matches. Unfortunately for him, by the time he got called up to the WWE main roster, I think he worked 4 matches or so. It was almost none. And that's unfortunate because it wasn't his fault. He was well-liked and then pushed down the card. But now we've got him in TNA, and he became Impact World Champion. So that's a guy that I would imagine is going to have some offers, going to have some people looking at him, and I would imagine TNA is going to want to re-sign him. They also wanted to hang on to Josh Alexander. They exercised his option. I saw some people say that it was like franchise tagging, kind of. At least when you get franchise tagged in the NFL, you get paid a heavy amount of money, and his money didn't necessarily go up. I mean, unless it just naturally goes up in the third year. But he had a 2-year contract with a third year option, and TNA held that option. Now, what we can tell you is that he did actually express to them that he didn't want them to pick up that option. And they did. And as a result, his deal will be up on February 14th, 2025. He'll be a free agent unless another contract extension is reached. There were many that speculated that his deal was extended as a result of injury time, but that wasn't the case. When Josh Alexander was sidelined, he was working backstage and as a producer, so the clock was still ticking on his contract. Now, that's similar to what was, for one, what's going on with Bobby Roode. His deal is ticking as a result of that. But Cody Rhodes, he never actually stopped doing work for the company. He did the documentary. He did some media stuff as well. But the rumors that Josh Alexander asked for his release wasn't the case. He just requested his option not be picked up. And there was actually a re-signs graphic that was made for his announcement before it was changed to extended. So a lot of miscommunication maybe there, or not really miscommunication as much as it was he wanted one thing, they did the other. But there's no concern from either side that he is actually going to see through that deal and work it. He's a professional, and he does what he needs to do. Speaking of contracts, Moose spoke with In the Weeds, Joel Pearl, and Jeremy Lambert this past week as well. Very interesting piece of news. He confirmed that his deal was a 5-year deal. He also has the TNA belt that he used on TV during 2020, but the current belt is new. He wants people to see that. He said that if he's a champion for another 6 to 12 months, he might bring back that old white belt as well. He'd love to see D'Angelo Williams get back in the ring as well. He talked about Scott D'Amore, says his relationship with Scott isn't going to change. Scott will always be a mentor, coach, and big brother to him. And, you know, that's another thing worth talking about is the Scott D'Amore stuff. He is not going to be coming back to TNA as of right now. There was a talent meeting this past weekend. We're told that the meeting was planned out well ahead of time, featured some of the bosses within the company speaking with people on the roster, allowing them to speak, asking for feedback, all that. And the general feeling was nobody wanted the roster to abandon the hard work they've done as a group, even if they don't agree with the decision to replace Scott D'Amore. We're told that there was one top name in TNA that was looking to leave the company and decided to ride it out after the weekend's tapings. after seeing how the meeting went as well. Several wrestlers told us that while they didn't agree with the decision, the meeting did do a good job of getting them excited for the possibilities of TNA moving forward. But it looks like that will be without Scott D'Amore. We spoke to Jake something. He talked about leaving TNA for a while. He said it was scary but awesome, and it also made TNA respect him more. He said Josh Alexander contacted him about coming back and had him reach out to Scott D'Amore. He said that just a couple minutes after messaging D'Amore, they started working on a deal to bring him back to the company. He also spoke about Monty Brown and some of his in-ring names, as well as working with Oleg Prudius. Lots of AEW news as well. QT Marshall back into the fold in a VP capacity. He was back on Saturday's Collision. Now, he's not planned to work in the ring, but they did take some pictures of him in his gear. So, and he looked in great shape too. But yeah, he did get some promo pictures done there. Lots of people were worried about Hangman Page on the February 21st Dynamite. It was a well-crafted work. And I mean really, really well-crafted work. And it's not to say that it won't play into the story moving forward. Because if he just pretended his ankle was hurt for the sake of doing it, well, that would have been kind of pointless. But there is a sort of touch-and-go situation that may end up seeing him unable to work the Revolution show. And if that's the case, they can use this as a reason, but the hope is that he will be good to go for it as well. But it was a carefully crafted work and very well done. I saw Jerry Lynn's tweet that was in a quote. It was the quote tweet of me revealing that it was a work, and he's like, oh, this shouldn't have been announced. I mean, I get why anybody in that position might not like it, but it's a general interest thing. A lot of people asked, and that's the nature of what we do. We don't post a whole lot of spoilers, per se, like as far as match results and things like that. But there are some elements like that where stories about injuries could, I don't want to say spoil upcoming plans or anything like that, But they're hopeful that he'll work the show, and he's a major part of their company. And a guy that a lot of people were worried was actually hurt. Kyle Fletcher, he's not hurt. He's got visa issues, unfortunately. He last competed on the January 31st episode of AEW Dynamite against Chris Jericho. He was poised for a program with Ethan Page, which they're still kind of doing, just in absence as well. Probably should have mentioned this while I was on the TNA news, but the Grizzled Young Vets talked to Fightful for their first interview after leaving WWE. They said that they had considered their WWE departure for quite some time and talked about asking for their releases the year before. They said they had actually believed they were on the chopping block in 2022 when NXT 2.0 had already taken over. They said that John Laurinaitis was just firing people left and right, but somebody saw something in them and pitched them as the team they were, Rip Fowler and Jagger Reed. They didn't really get a clear direction of Schism and said it was constantly changing. However, James Drake noted that once Ava Rain got involved, he firmly went to WWE and he said, okay, guys, listen, this is The Rock's daughter, and she is her own woman. He made sure to say that. He never looked at her as The Rock's daughter because she's her own person, but they knew that there would be some mainstream attention on what she was doing. And even though they now consider the Rip Fowler and Jagger Reed names dead, they saw this and they're like, hey, maybe let's add some more clarity to what it is that we're doing if we're going to get so much attention. They weren't required to go into the PC daily as a part of their deals, but did go in person to ask for their release. Gibson and Drake spoke highly of the coaches there, especially Norman Smiley, who we joked about a little bit. But they saw their deals out, and then Deadlock Pro was running an event the day after their deals were up, and that helped make them their first post-WWE appearance. They are based out of the U.S. now, but they still travel overseas to compete. They spoke highly of ABC in the TNA locker room, but said that as of now, they are independent. They are not signed to any contracts or anything like that. They are still technically free agents working on per appearance deals here and there. So well worth going out of your way to see there. Another AEW note, obviously we're asking a lot about Sting and all that stuff. There were some backstage that had pushed for Darby Allin to take the bump at the end of the Daily's Place tag team match, but Sting was insistent. Obviously, he's been finding the follow-up. Triple H showed up at the One Dead Man show for Undertaker in Perth. Cody Rhodes, Rhea Ripley merch did really well at Elimination Chamber. No surprise there. Fightful in talks to add a Tuesday morning wrestling show for you guys on our main feed. Chris Jericho's UK tour of Fozzy ends next week. He has been off TV while on tour. Sting did miss Dynamite last week due to the unfortunate passing of his father. We want to send our love to his family. Jen Pepperman was at AEW Dynamite this past Wednesday. We're not told if she was working or observing, but she was at the very least observing. Fightful will be speaking with Deonna Purrazzo, Daniel Garcia, Michael Oku, Amira, and Bobby Fish this week. So let us know if you have any questions in the comments. We had so many WWE interviews that between Royal Rumble, Las Vegas, and the stuff that Anna did this week, we've got like 20 WWE interviews in the first few months. I mean, we're still rolling out some from Tampa that are more evergreen than some other ones, but we tried a different method with Anna's interviews because I think you guys can tell. Anna is back at Fightful. She's catching up on a lot of stuff. She wasn't necessarily, you know, doing newsworthy type of stuff. We did post a bunch of notes there. But what she did was like citizenship tests and Australia trivia and what they think of Australia-themed matches, some of their favorite Australia like culture things, some of the things they had taken in as well. And we decided to upload those all at once. That's the Denise Salcedo method right there. And after we did that, I didn't even do the interviews, but I edited most of them. And except for the ones that required heavy editing, and Rob did those. And by the time I got done, I was like, Denise, you are a psychopath. Like, you're crazy. It's heavy, man. It is a heavy day, and Denise does it on a laptop, I think. I'm pretty sure she does that on a laptop. But Tiffany Stratton, Kevin Owens, Nia Jax, Seth Rollins, Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, all interviewed by Anna. We are so happy to have Anna back, and I was like, you know what, let's go ahead and rock with these, and you guys showed up for them. They did some pretty good traffic throughout the week, so I want to thank you all for that. We did one with Seth Rollins breaking down Australian fashion and lingo, Nia Jax talking about shoeies, Becky Lynch, Anna confessed her love to her, Bianca Belair aced Australian trivia, and Owens took an Australian citizenship test. Tiffany Stratton talked about Love Island, Australia. Tiffany was not only just over at the venue. She's our most watched interview out of that batch. We're not talking like Seth Rollins in Vegas numbers, but pretty good there. I'll give you guys another little bit of inside baseball here. The TNA video of Eric Young addressing the locker room is one of Fightful's most viewed videos of all time now. Like, original videos. This thing has outdrawn our MJF interview, which is the most viewed interview that we've ever had. Really, the only thing that exceeds the TNA locker room video are, you know, some footage videos that got sent to us from the UFC 229 fight, and then a bunch of shorts that we've had from events and interviews and the likes. But as far as full videos, that one has just done insane numbers, not just there, but on Twitter as well. So a lot of interest in that situation, at least from the YouTube crowd. Elimination Chamber. So Bronson Reed wasn't there, but he was supposed to be there. But he said this past week that he wasn't missing the show because his wife was pregnant, but his wife gave birth the day of Elimination Chamber. I'm going to make sense of this for you guys. Fightful Select reported Bronson Reed was slated for the show. He was planned to face Seth Rollins in a World Heavyweight Championship match at the show. There were some promos in January where he said he was going after a champion that had no idea it was coming. Then Seth got hurt, and Seth Rollins revealed on the show that he was close to getting cleared. However, he wasn't, so they pulled that match. He wasn't pulled as a result of the pregnancy because they did not expect to have the child so soon. I'm not putting anybody's private business out there. He said this as much. So this past week, he was like, guys, I know that you guys know that my wife is pregnant, but that ain't why I'm missing the show. As it turns out, she gave birth early, and he got to be there for the birth of his child. So a very happy accident. Obviously, nobody wants to see Seth Rollins injured, but Bronson Reed would have been over there otherwise. Like, and they could have found something for him to do, but it worked out best for everyone, well, except for Seth Rollins, that this happened. And maybe if he faces The Rock at WrestleMania, maybe it worked out best for him too. That travel that some of them had to take. Some went to California, Hawaii, then Australia. There were some people that ended up taking 4 or 5 legs of a flight to get back home. That is wild. Fuego del Sol was interviewed by In the Weeds. I want you guys to check this out. Fuego is... So Fuego is... First off, he's very entertaining. Very smart as far as in-ring wrestling goes as well. But he keeps everything so positive, and I really respect that throughout what he's doing. I mean, he's good at vlogging. He's good at talking. He's good on, like, as a personality as well. He said that he came up with Alan Angel's TNA show, The Soundcheck, says he loves being a part of the creative backstage process in wrestling. Now, I want to say this, like, Fuego is nowhere near done being like done in the ring. He's like 28, I think, and he's already been wrestling for a decade. He's really, really good in the ring, but man, he is like somebody's gonna get like somebody who is very versatile in what they do. He can work TV, he can wrestle, he can probably produce matches at this point. I would be shocked if he didn't help out creatively. He's got good ideas and all that stuff, but a very good dude. Guys, I want to thank you all so much for joining us. If you haven't joined in on our Discord, please do that. I know some of you are going, what the hell is Discord? That's what I was saying. I got invited into the Positive Wrestling Network Discord, or actually, I think I just told them I was going to show up. And really nice people over there. And it eased me into Discord for a while because I had posted in 2021, hey, Fightful Select's going to do a Discord, and then we just didn't do it. There's that. There's Fightful Select Espanol and a couple other ideas that I really wanted to get off the ground, and finally we did it. I want to thank Kenneth and Mike Straw and Corey Brennan and Alexis Cardoza and the people who have helped out in developing it. We're going to expand it to, you know, some sports stuff and some things like that. But a lot of fun going over there on that Discord. So I've got an Ask SRS section. We're still going to do our show, obviously. But there's a Sour Graps and In the Weeds. Then we've got it broken up into different channels for AEW, ROH, WWE, NXT, New Japan, and other Japanese wrestling companies, TNA, Joshi, the Indies, wrestling news in general, Fightful site announcements as well, and we are going to expand that. And right now, and this is how we plan on keeping it, no toxicity over there, no trolling, nothing like that, a lot of good people, a lot of things that you know, a lot of you've been asking for me to interact more directly. I'm always happy to do that, especially for subscribers. So thank you all so much. The next couple months are going to be pretty wild, guys. We're going to have so much news, especially news directly from the sources, directly from talent. And we got there are some big debuts en route, and then there's WrestleMania and Revolution, and I'll be at Squared Circle Expo talking to a little bit of everybody. I just want to say thank you all so much for supporting what it is that we do. Until next time, we're out.